The new film, Speech and Debate, directed by Dan Harris, tells the story of three outsider teenagers frustrated by the hypocrisy they see in their parents, teachers, and their entire school board in Salem, Oregon. In order to find a way to make their voices heard in their community, DeWada, Solomon, and Howie revive their school's defunct speech and debate team.
Welcome to North Salem's revived speech and debate team. My name's DeWada, and as team captain...
Self-appointed team captain.
I'm not acknowledging that remark.
And I'm Solomon, and please know that you can come to me with any questions.
Or you could come to me, so Solomon doesn't get bugged too often.
We're gonna go over the different debate categories.
Hey, can we play icebreakers?
No, I'm running the meeting, please.
The film deals with serious issues of homophobia, First Amendment rights, and censorship, alongside comically presenting building trust, friendship, and coping with high school. The screenplay was adapted by Stephen Karam from his play of the same name. Karam is a two-time Pulitzer Prize finalist, and his three most recent plays, Speech and Debate, Sons of the Prophet, and The Humans, the latter of which won the Tony Award for Best Play last year, have all been produced in New York City by Roundabout Theater Company. Sarah Steele plays DeWada in the film, reprising her role in the off-Broadway stage production from 2007. Other credits include Bridget in The Humans, the 2004 film Spanglish, CBS's The Good Wife, and its spin-off for CBS All Access, The Good Fight, on which she plays Marissa Gold. Steele's speech and debate character, DeWada, is the quintessential high school drama kid. She sees her life through the lens of whichever play was most recently put up in her school's auditorium. She's impulsive, but she means well. Sarah Steele, welcome to the roundtable.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
The movie is coming out now. The play was off-Broadway a few years ago, and you were in both. The story changed a little. The script is quite different, but DeWada is still there. How did she change, and how was playing her on stage different from playing her for the movie?
Well, you know, it was very interesting to revisit her because, of course, when I played it in the stage version, I was much more age appropriate. So I was worried with the movie. You know, the last thing you want to do when playing a character like DeWada is kind of look down on her or look back at her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really want to live there instead of do like an imitation of something that I used to be. And for that reason, it was a huge blessing that we were shooting in Mississippi. So I was very removed from my adult life, and the only people that I was hanging out with there were Liam James and Austin McKenzie, who actually were 19.
Right.
So I was able to kind of revert. It was fun. I mean, I was 27, and I was able, I think, to actually, for that 6 weeks, revert to sort of being that age, which I thought was kind of the main challenge of it. Of course, I knew how to play the character because I did the stage version, but I was very concerned that even though I still look very youthful, that just by living on this earth for 27 years, I would come off as way older than them. So that was kind of the main challenge or my main concern. But DeWada is written so strongly in both versions that if you kind of just let the language live, she's going to come out of you.
You have to, as DeWada, act like a bad actor, or more like, I think it's fair to say, an untrained actor. She's
sure.
High schooler. She's the excited to perform, overperforming high school actor. But you are a professional actor, so you have to reach back and do that. Does the direction help you find the balance? Because there is something that would be too over the top, I imagine.
Right. Yes. I mean, oh man, that's a very good question. It's really funny because I feel like because I did the stage version, when I'm inside her, I'm not actually aware of acting badly when I'm doing the Crucible, for instance. I'm only aware that this is how she would do it.
Okay.
So it's funny. I think that she is so dramatic. The way she lives her life is dramatic. So that's how she interprets characters and what they're going through.
Speech and Debate, the play, was written by Stephen Karam, who co-wrote the screenplay for the adaptation. And he wrote The Humans, which you appeared in off-Broadway and then on Broadway last year. A magnificent, beautiful show that I saw off-Broadway, of course.
Yeah.
So you must also enjoy Mr. Karam's writing, if you keep returning to it.
Yes. He is my favorite writer. I think he, you know, so far in my career, my artistic collaboration with him has been a major highlight, and I would say Speech and Debate and the Humans are, you know, among top three my favorite things I've ever done, the stage version and the Humans. So yeah, I mean, I feel extremely honored and extremely lucky that I happened to be right for this zany part in his first play, and then we became friends, and now I get to do his other work, because I do believe he is a genius, and he's grown so much just in the years that I've known him. And, you know, now I get to be in like his Tony winning play, and he's only like 33. I'm just hoping that it's a very long relationship that spans the entirety of both of our careers.
Well, I hope so too. So for Speech and Debate, the story is important,
yeah,
and it's in and out of importance. You want it being about 10 years old to be, for those issues to be gone, but of course they're not. The issues of acceptance,
yeah,
et cetera, in communities and towns, and censorship. How do you think about those issues as you make the movie, if you do, and why do you think it's a good time for the film to come out?
Even when we were shooting it, we didn't expect that it would come out at a moment where censorship would be such a hot topic.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, we couldn't have guessed.
It's very funny. I mean, Steven, and this is I think the mark of a true genius, is artists who can kind of, without knowing it, sort of subconsciously predict what's happening now. I mean, this was true with the Humans too, that he wrote The Humans years ago, and then part of the reason I think that it went to Broadway and won the Tony was because the issues that family is going through are what sort of created Trump, you know, and then we were doing it, you know, during the election and doing it after the election, and it was so, you could just feel the energy in the room from people seeing it. I was like, this is such an issue right now. And he wrote it years before. And same way with the movie of Speech and Debate. It's like, we didn't know 2 summers ago that now we would be in this situation where freedom of the press is being questioned and the legitimacy of the press is being questioned. But here we are. And now the movie's coming out, and it's very topical. So it's exciting to be a part of that and to be a part of these stories coming out when they do.
You also, you play Marissa Gold on Now the Good Fight, is a character that originated on The Good Wife. What do you like about doing the series?
Well, what's really fun about doing The Good Fight is that I kind of get to grow this character up, as opposed to I played her for so long, mostly as someone's daughter, mostly acting with an actor playing my father. So that pulls out a certain side of people, and it's very fun to kind of get to expand her and get to see her living her life without her father. But also, I mean, it's just a blast because we have so much of the same crew. So a lot of us have been together for, you know, like 6 years. And then we have all of these lovely newcomers, and we get to do more of a cable thing. We get to curse. We get to, you know, do all those things you can't do on network TV. And we get to do, you know, only 10 episodes. So they're not cranked out quite as quickly. And I think they're really strong. And I'm just so honored that they wanted me to do it.
So with the season being 10 episodes, you have a production schedule, but also, mm-hmm, are you also freer to pursue more plays, to work in developing
exactly
new plays and then find your next stage role?
Yes, and that was another huge draw for me, was that I wouldn't sign on to a 22-episode show because my real passion is the theater, so that prevents me from doing a play. But this is a great, a great sort of middle ground where it's half the year, and then I have 6 months to try to fit something else in if I can. And then come back. But also, they just write great female characters, and that's something you do not see a lot on TV, is complicated, strong women.
Right. Is it also important to you that it film in New York?
Yeah, and that's not even because I hate LA or something. It's just that LA is kind of a it's kind of uncharted territory for me. I don't know how to get around there. I always feel very at sea when I'm out there. And I think for my mental health, it's very good for me to see theater when I can.
How often do you get to?
I'm actually going today. I'm going to go see everybody. But the answer to that question totally depends on what I'm doing. So
sure.
I did The Humans for a year and 3 months. So during that time, I barely saw anything because I was on the same schedule as everybody. But now that I have more free time, I'm seeing a ton of stuff. So it kind of goes in spurts for me, where I see like 3 things a week or I am seeing nothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
As a performer in the audience, are you able to, or what's your tact for turning off a sort of analytical performer brain and just enjoying the product? I shouldn't call it product. I should have called it art.
Oh, no, you can call it product. What's
no.
wrong with that? It's funny. I really can turn that off. Theater is really, to me, the most immediate way that I experience art. It's just the art that speaks to me the most and always has been. So, I don't tend to go to the theater and really like analyze people's performance because I just get too caught up in it. It's funny. My boyfriend actually talks about that because we'll go to a play that like he thinks is horrible and I will think it's bad too, but still something shocking will happen. And I'll be like, oh, and he'll be like, I think it's amazing that you can still get caught up in it. And I'm like, yeah, I really can. I mean, even if I think the play is bad, I think the direction's bad. I like that part of my brain sort of comes on after we leave, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm talking about it or thinking about it, but I really get, I really, it's like I'm like a little kid when I'm in the theater or something. I get very caught up in it.
Sarah Steele plays DeWada in the new film, Speech and Debate.
Boy, what you doing? Boy, what you thinking? Boy, what's your name?
Abraham Lincoln.
Landed in a land that's strange and foreign.
Tell me your name.
It's Mary Warren. Boy, this is Salem. I just had my trial. They think I'm a witch. They think I'm vile. They said, girl, you'll hang. You must confess. So I lied and said, yes, I am possessed.
You held it in.
On Sunday, April 2nd, the movie will have a premiere at the American Airlines Theater in New York City, and on that same day, it'll be available on iTunes. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.